Welcome to this week's episode of Amp to 11. I am Rebecca Boltzma, and this is the podcast where we crank up the volume on AI and education to the absolute max to help you stay on top of everything AI, education, innovation, and why it matters.
And I'm Brett Rower, CEO and founder of Amplify and Elevate Innovation. Super excited. I'm Amp to 11 to be here this week alongside Rebecca, talking to our guest, Mike Yates. Every episode, we're going to take people like Mike through our 11 Amp to 11 questions. Each guest that joins us is doing something incredible that you need to know about in the world of AI, innovation, and education. And so these 11 questions will help us see the world in the future the way they see it, and hopefully amplify that vision and have a collective impact on the future of education and society. Welcome, Mike. How are you today?
I'm great, man. How are you?
I'm doing excellent. I'm Amp to 11 to get a chance to catch up with you. As we all know, Mike is renowned because he leads AI and other innovative solutions for America's Reinvention Lab, on top of so many other things he does. So Mike, instead of me telling everyone what you do, give us a real quick overview of some of the things you're most passionate about right now and leading in the world of AI, education, and innovation.
Yeah, thanks. I think the thing I'm most excited about in with AI right now is I'm excited about the number of people that are racing to the bottom, meaning that there's a lot of people in the field that are just building sort of like baseline, regular school AI offerings so that I can say to schools, like, trust me, you'll have something that's decent. Now I'm going to go over here and build weird stuff like AI for fashion design, like AI coffee shop locators. Like, I'm excited right now. The thing that's like really giving me a lot of energy is sort of pushing to the fringes and figuring out like what hasn't been done, and just the ability to try everything and not worry about which ones fail, just like figure it out. So that's led me to like working on some projects with some big tech companies, working on projects with university football teams, like all sorts of fun stuff. So that's what I'm excited about.
Incredible. So for folks out there that don't know, when Mike really gets a passion and an idea, he really goes deep with it. So, you know, I'm sure we'll cover a lot of this today, but you might learn a lot about, you know, Mike's passion for the Houston Rockets, design and sneakers. He's a whiskey aficionado, some would say resident expert. So you're going to learn a lot about Mike today. I am always honored because when I see Mike Yates at something, I know I'm in the right place, and I'm even more honored that I've gotten the chance to see him speak. And I'm even more honored that Mike is our first ever podcast guest on Amp to 11, because many, many moons ago, the first ever podcast I was fortunate enough to be a guest on was Mike's podcast at the time, which was called Schoolish. So Mike, really great, honored, full circle moment here.
I'm proud to be a part of it. Like, it's awesome. That was back when you were at Outlier.
Yes, sir. Yeah, man. So here we go. Again, our inaugural podcast guest is about to run the gauntlet on 11 hard-hitting, innovative questions, all focused on AI. So Mike, you ready?
Yep, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So, first question is coming to you. It's a pop culture reference, Stranger Things. We all know the character 11. She had a real moment. She was in the zeitgeist. She had these supernatural powers. Anyone who saw it, right, they're in awe. They're like, what am I seeing? So, Mike, what's your 11 jaw-dropping AI moment? The first time that jaw dropped, or the weirdest, most unexpected thing that you've seen AI able to do?
It's the video capabilities. Like, when we went from like the Will Smith eating spaghetti video where he's just like morphing into himself, and seeing like those first renderings of Sora, I was just watching a video about Sora, like the first like official Sora demo from Marques Brownlee yesterday. And as somebody who also loves videography, I'm like, man, I can spot the difference in most of them, but I'm also getting fooled like 70% of the time. Right. So like it's this weird conundrum. So I think that's probably the most eye-popping thing, just going from basic sentences to being able to build full worlds that are moving and interactive. Honestly, like, I love Stranger Things, and the Upside Down feels like something that an AI generated. So that's a good, that's a perfect setup for that question.
Also want to shout out what you just said. We've seen just the advancement in video. Sora yesterday was the first time I saw it, thanks to actually Rebecca posting it on LinkedIn, and I immediately went to it and was like, this is incredible. And also traffic was so high that I don't have my account yet, but excited to get in there and dig in. Second question is actually the namesake. Where we got the name for Amp 211 comes from the famous mockumentary Spinal Tap, the scene where that amp cranks up to 11. The limits of the ordinary don't exist when they get that amp out. So, Mike, what's your AI tool that you push to its absolute limits when you really need to get things done in your personal or professional life?
But now it's Microsoft Copilot. Like, I was a real hater on Microsoft Copilot. I was like, I don't want it. I don't want to use it. And then we got some licenses, and I've been using it for really just like 2 weeks, but it has become a really important crutch for me because I notoriously, I'm saying this on a podcast, I don't read emails. Like, if you send me an email and the email is not addressed to me directly, like, I will read the ones that are addressed to me directly. Copilot makes that so easy because I can just say, hey, which emails in my inbox right now are addressed to me? Like, I'm tired of being CC'd on all these emails. But even then, when somebody's like, so I have the Copilot Microsoft Outlook app on my phone. I literally just did this. I'm not going to say who, because maybe if the timing's right, though. But they were like, oh, you remember this email where we were talking about that thing? I was like, yeah, you know what? Hold on. I got to send a message real quick. And I asked Copilot about it. And I just like the commercial I was reading. I was like, oh, yeah. Now I do. And we were able to actually like have a real conversation instead of having to take 10 minutes to catch me up on the details. So Copilot and like the way that it plays with the Microsoft 365 like suite has been I wouldn't say revolutionary, but it's been super helpful for like quick task management and knowledge management. Like, there's so many things that I need to, like, so many little bits of knowledge that I need to go build the next thing that it's helping me do that right now.
That is a nugget, a golden nugget of wisdom there. So thank you for that tip, trick, and letting people under the hood. You know, we always say this is a 10 out of 10. We're used to rating things like that. But sometimes something is so good, it goes above and beyond, even an 11 out of 10. So right now, what's another AI tool in your toolbox that you feel deserves an award of 11 out of 10, and why?
It's so funny. This person just texted me. I will say PlayLab AI. Like, I think PlayLab is best in class at what it does. It is PlayLab, if you're not familiar, is a tool that allows anybody to build their own AI tool or chatbot. And it is so easy and so intuitive that like right now it is the best AI builder on the market. Like, it's better than Google Studio. Google Studio is cool, but like, it's so confusing. Google Studio is clearly meant for developers. PlayLab is clearly meant for real human beings. So for a real human using consumer grade AI, PlayLab is 11 out of 10. The team at PlayLab is obviously great. I'm biased because I know them all and used to work with one of them. So, but I just, bias aside, like, I have seen it transform people's work. I've seen it transform people's life. And I've had the chance to teach many people how to use that tool. So I think PlayLab is 11 out of 10.
Well, thank you. And also, yeah, big shout out to Youssef, Wyman, the whole team over there. I want to say the first time I ever saw the power of PlayLab was in Hawaii with first year TFAers. And in a 1 hour session, they had never seen PlayLab before. 1 hour later, so many first year teachers said, like, I can't believe I didn't have this for the first part of my teaching year. I've never had a more, exciting experience at a PD, and I've never felt more prepared to teach tomorrow. So I want to say, I mean, that's 11 out of 10 PD feedback. So shout out to PlayLab. Thanks for giving them their flowers. Mike, here at Amp211, we're big fans of 11 Labs. I'm sure you are as well. Just for folks that don't know, they're known for creating AI voices that are truly level 11 amazing. So Mike, if you could have anyone's voice read your daily emails and 11 Labs listen up, who would you have it be and why?
It would be Samuel L. Jackson, because to date, I have seen almost every, I've been slacking lately, but I've seen almost every film he's ever been in, which, so you know, is a lot. Like, it's 474. It's a lot of movies. But I would love for Samuel Jackson to read my emails to me. And now that gives, like, I'm going to go produce that on 11 Labs. I am an avid user of 11 Labs. I used it so much in the early days of my Bourbon TikTok account that people thought I created the voice. Like, Adam, their like standard voice, they thought I made that voice. And I was like, no, this is an existing tool.
Mike wants that Samuel one. I would love a Mike Yates voice, please, and thank you. This next question, Mike, is first of all, for our listeners out there, if you don't know, if you want to just go down a rabbit hole with Mike, just ask him, what do you think of the Rockets this year? So this guy is a basketball aficionado. He's an expert in the space on that as well. So I'm going to talk about one of my more devastating childhood moments. Reggie Miller, 8 seconds, right? So between the Rockets and John Stark's shooting performance and Reggie Miller, my childhood was pretty scarred. Knicks never brought it home. But Reggie Miller, let's give him some flowers. Number 11, famous for delivering those clutch performances in the playoffs when it mattered most. So, Mike Yates, when's a moment an AI tool really just came through for you when you needed it to, delivered on a project you needed, and just, again, went above and beyond your expectations of where you could take it?
Canva and their AI suite has been really helpful for me. I was prototyping this project where this project is heavily based on the company called Mischief. If you're listening, you haven't heard of Mischief, look it up. It's M, it's like the word mischief without vowels. .xyz, that's the website. Mischief is this all these devious art projects and like products. I just bought some slides that look like they're like braces for broken feet. And that's the kind of wacky products it creates. So I looked at that and said, why not learning? And obviously, like, if you go to a team of people, especially in the ed world where like everybody is uptight and wants to be professional, and you say to them, I want to build the Mischief of Learning, they're like, never heard of it. What are you talking about? And then you go, oh, you remember the big red boots? They're like, no. Did you see the shoes where they put human blood? And then they're like, what is going on? So I needed a way very quickly, like within 15 minutes, to be able to show them what these concepts look like. So I went into Canva and I used their AI image and video generation, and I generated 13 different cards of like these projects that I wanted to build that were Mischief style. And so had these beautiful presentations so that people could see like exactly what I meant, and like printed them out, went to a conference and started just handing them to people so that my team could then be immersed in that idea and that prototype, as opposed to just me explaining it to them or me giving them a doc. So Canva's AI tools allowed my idea to come to life, which is what got the buy-in for me to work on it for the next 8 months, you know? So that tool came through in the clutch for sure.
All right, moving right along. We are at the halfway point. We're at number 6 here out of 11. So now we're gonna talk about the 11th hour, right? So now it's getting late, and we really want you to tell people, what is the AI breakthrough tool right now that if you're an educator, you need to know about right now? What is that crucial tool right now for educators to get on with?
I wouldn't always say the word crucial, but one that I do think more teachers need to, because I really do, I believe in the founders, and I believe in this tool's ability to, like, say, help you plan quickly at 11:59. Yeah. Not magic school AI, but school AI. Just the way that they're thoughtfully building with educators, and what I hear educators say about that tool, what I know about the partnership that I'm working on with them, right? Like, they are really committed to a tool that's built by teachers for teachers. Both of the founders, former teachers, one of them built the Apple Educator ecosystem, right? Like, so they've got like chops in this world. So I think school AI is one that more teachers should know about for sure. It will help you with anything from planning to like interest management in your classroom. You can even build your own little custom chatbots inside of there. So school AI is pretty cool.
That's amazing. And also, I love how you brought to that analogy of it's 11:59. I really got to finish this lesson so I can get to bed. Knowing there's tools out there, that's real helpful. Or 11:59 and that class starts at 12. You're ready. So good to know. That is a great use case for all you teachers out there that with busy lives. All right. Again, this is actually real personal because you're based out of Houston. I'm pretty sure Apollo 11, does that sound right? They do some aeronautic stuff out there by you?
Yeah.
So Apollo 11, moon landing happening right in your backyard. It took off from giant leap for humanity. What's kind of your personal connection to the Apollo 11 moment with AI, the breakthrough that felt like you are, you know, kind of pushing into new frontiers, or it's going to take, you know, humanity to a new level?
I had my moment in 2014. I had a student who couldn't read at all. He was in sixth grade. And this was my second year of teaching. And I remember saying to him, I said, he came to my desk and he was like, hey, I don't want to read out loud. And I was like, okay, well, why? I didn't even know at that point, like, look at his 504 plan. It will tell you why. And he like whispers to me like, hey, I don't read very good. He's like, I don't really know how to read at all. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. And afterwards, I went up to him and I was like, hey, man, I don't know a whole lot about this job, this teaching thing, but you cannot walk out of this classroom not knowing how to read. I didn't even teach English. I was a sixth grade world cultures teacher at the time, but I knew that I had like some responsibility to be like, hey, dude. And he's like, great, are you gonna help me learn how to read? And I was like, dude, I've never taught anybody how to read. So let me go home and Google this and figure this out. And like, we'll learn together. So I went home and I literally Googled how to teach a sixth grader how to read. And all these apps started popping up. And I just went one by one and I was testing them all night long. And the next day I came back to school. It's like, hey, try this app called Newzella. He starts reading everything he can about soccer. And I didn't know what adaptive learning was at the time. Never heard that term. But I noticed that the reading level, the lexile level started increasing over time. And by the end of the school year, his reading level had jumped from a first grade level to a fourth grade level. So like he wasn't on grade level yet, but he had made 3 grade levels worth of progress in one school year with just 45 minutes a day, or really about 20 minutes a day, of him on that app in my classroom. That is when I said, yep, this teaching thing in regular schools for me, that's done. I don't do that. And I kid you not, that the school year ended that summer, the movie Her came out. And I remember watching that movie and I was like, yeah. I'm also a conspiracy theorist, so I was like, they know something. This exists. And that's why that clip today in 2024 is like even scarier. But that was my moment. It's like watching at the time we were just calling it machine learning or adaptive learning, like watching that do right on behalf of a student drove me to, it literally changed my career. I would not be doing this today if it had not been for that moment.
I just want to name, like, not everyone has your insight, intuition to realize, unfortunately, too many educators, myself included, have had a student say something like that. So one, obviously flowers to you for then taking that initiative. So many teachers do that. They don't always know where to turn. But this is like the premier example of you can personalize learning at scale now. When those students come up to you, that reaction is always going to be so visceral. And you're going to sometimes feel helpless. Like, I was a social studies teacher, not a literacy expert by trade. But there are so many tools out there to help you get those students where they need to get. So thank you for sharing that journey, what you did about it, and also just making sure people know, like, those solutions are now out there. And that's kind of what the, you know, the mission of AMP211 is, to amplify these incredible tools and people like Mike who are in the know for the right reasons. So, Mike, we know when it's 11:11, someone will turn to you and say, hey, Mike, make a wish. So as you've already heard, Mike is the realist, right? He tells you all of it. So like, if you follow Mike on LinkedIn, he's got some wishes, like, I wish we could all just stop talking about AI because not the right conversation. So I'm not going to tell you what your wish is, Mike, but how do you hope or wish AI can shape education and society? Like, what does that look like to you?
I think in the short term, I hope that it puts pressure on the system, like good pressure. What I want is for a watershed moment to happen in learning. I thought it was the pandemic. It was like, oh, this is it. People were calling the pandemic the moonshed moment or the moonshot moment. And I was like, no, this needs to be slightly tragic. Like people need to start understanding for the first time that the system is broken. And I do think that AI has the ability to give us data so quickly and in the way that we want to see it and the way that we need to see it, that we can finally see the system for what it is, a system that is not functioning on behalf of kids. And what's beautiful about the potential of AI or generative AI as we know it, is that the AI can both identify the problem for us and help us start to fix it and connect us to the people, like connect the real ones in the field. Like the reason why I said that on LinkedIn, like I'm really ready for the AI hype cycle to die, is because there are too many people who are just not doing the work but are winning awards and are on stage talking. Some people who I like a lot as people, and I just want them to stop talking, because the more they talk, the less we focus on problem solving. Like if we're clapping and looking at them, who are we not looking at? The students who are suffering and dying in these classrooms, right? So like for me, I'm a person where education changed my whole life. Like if my free, high quality public school education set me on a different trajectory because I had educators who decided, like, for whatever reason, they were like, yo, that weird kid in the classroom, something special about him, and I'm going to make sure that he knows it and make sure that everybody else knows it too. Like, I can't shake the fact that education is too powerful. So I really do hope that like we're able to see these disparities. We're able to see like racial disparities, gender disparities. We're able to see the wealth gap in a new way. And I really believe that AI is a part of the answer for how we, for the first time, make sure that every kid can have what they need and a high quality education, maybe for the first time ever.
I absolutely concur with that, right? Being able to personalize learning. I love what you said, right? It can help identify and solve the problem. A lot of us maybe know the problems we've seen in classrooms, but you're right. Without having all of that data at our disposal in real time, being able to personalize learning and help each student exactly where they're at, it often felt like an insurmountable task. You're right. First time, it feels like there's hope out there.
And the thing I'll add is like sometimes we don't, our problems are too localized. Like we understand how it plays out in Houston, Texas. But like you mentioned earlier, like I love whiskey, and I love whiskey in a way that most people don't. Like I love it to the point where I geek out about the master distiller and like who is the person at the front desk at the distillery. Like I love it to that level. So that means I spend a lot of time in Middle America. And every day when I'm in Middleburg, Virginia, or when I'm in Lawrenceburg, Indiana, or, you know, like Covington, Kentucky, I'm literally learning about a new way of life. Like literally learning about new problems in the Appalachian region of the country. And like how some people don't have clean water in 2024, right? Like so I do think that the ability for us to finally see and get angry about like what else is going on or get active about what's happening, like that river between Cincinnati and Covington, Kentucky, that was one of the first documented times in American history that somebody saw another person's problem. Harriet Beecher Stowe saw a slave with her children fall into her backyard, lay on the ground and cry because she was finally free. And that is what caused her to write a book that changed the way that the entire country thought about slavery. So that's the type of like process that I'm hoping AI can help replicate over and over, but with, you know, learning and other problems in society.
I love how you always bring your passions in your Mike Yates way, like really bring them back home. And, you know, again, whiskey. Whiskey is the door opener to changing society's problems. It's what I took away from that. Yeah. So, Mike, first, I would love for you to just give a shout out real quick. Shout out to your amazing family. So tell us, you know, your partner, your kids, names, ages, all that good stuff. And a little bit more about your history and your family's history about how you're educating them these days.
Yeah. My wife's name is Alexandria. She's a saint. She's amazing. None of what people know about me is possible without her. We have four children, Austin, Brooklyn, London, and Kingston. They're all named after cities. They're all homeschooled, and they are, they're just like the coolest kids right now. They, you know, their interests are all very defined and very different, but they also know how to sort of like step into each other's world and participate. Like my 9-year-old daughter she's really into making movies. So one day I remember her being frustrated, and I was like, well, you know, like if you're going to be the director, like you need to give people instructions on where you need them to be. The next day she like shows up with a full shot list and like, all right, this is where I need you to stand and you got to stand over there. And I'm like, wow. You know, so just watching them sort of like the world is their classroom. And I am thankful that we made the decision to homeschool. A lot of people have this misconception about the homeschool community where they're like, well, that's for wealthy people. Well, we were homeschooling when I was making $32,000 a year. Like it's a sacrifice that we chose to make because I had just seen too much. And I just, you know, I was like, I want to do this for my kids. My wife wanted to do it. for our kids. So homeschool is a lot of it's either one-on-one tutoring or working with adaptive learning software and then doing just the craziest projects we can think of. Like, you know, go introduce yourself to five people at the mall, like we're with them, but like five strangers you never met before. And we're like, well, do I really have to do that? And we're like, well, no, you don't. But if you don't do it, you don't get this points or the prize or whatever. Like, so it's a blast, and we'll keep developing and building on top of it.
Incredible. Well, again, just shout out to you and your amazing family. I know you talk about them often when I get the opportunity to see you on the road. So I wanted to give them some flowers. And also, you don't have to imagine it because you're living it, but you know, we have 11-year-olds out there who are going to grow up in a world, you know, never knowing what it's like without AI. So a big picture, not just your own children, but for everyone out there who's got children and the educators out there shaping minds, what's the message you're going to give about the future in an AI-driven world to the 11-year-olds out there?
I've got a kid who's 10. He's about to be 11 in May. And the thing that I tell him and the rest of his siblings is to be patient. The great luxury that you have of being 11 years old is that you can watch us crusty adults figure it out. You don't have to be broken while we move fast and break things. Like, don't be in a rush. The tools are not that cool. By the time you really get access to it, they're going to be much cooler. But I would say, like, the key is for the 11-year-old is what I would also tell the 21-year-old and the 51-year-old is to tinker around and play. Like, all of these, the utility of these tools, they only make sense if they make it easier for you, the human, to construct the world around you, to sort of like bend your world into like what you want it and need it to be. So treat it as a playground. That's why I think the name PlayLab, like PlayLab, Playground AI, like Runway, right? Like these names of these AI companies are sort of telling you what to do. Like, this is a playground. Treat it like a video game, right? Like that is what it is. So, you know, if you're an 11-year-old, you're using AI, be careful. It's weird. We're very far away from sentient AI taking over the world. I don't think it's going to happen. But I would actually say be patient. Like, none of my kids, by the way, are allowed to use AI by themselves until they can make meaning of the world from literature that they read. That's the link for us. It's like, if you can't read what an AI says to you and go, that's probably a hallucination, because what I know about the world doesn't match up with that, it's not time for you to use AI. So if you're 11 and you can't do that, pump the brakes, homie.
Amazing life advice for, as you said, all age ranges. But I did want to say something you said before and give again some flowers to, like, something PlayLab does that I do love that creates a sense of, you know, play, but also personalization, like you said, is the remix feature. So whenever I'm speaking with someone who wants to tell me about their AI tool, I'm always like, great. Do you have a way for people to personalize or build off of something else that's working in District A and your District B to personalize what they're doing? Because while the problems might be the same, as you said before, they're localized. Like, how do you solve for the exact issue? So I love the fact that people can try, learn, but remix it up is essential, I think, for like play, innovation, and construction. All right. So this ties in very well to kind of what you were just referencing, right? We got to go slow. AI is the worst version it's ever going to be. If AI is right now, if it's a level one in the technology we're using today, what is happening when we crank it all the way up to 11? So describe that future of ed when AI really reaches that full potential, and what's possible that's going to feel like sci-fi today to people.
I actually don't think it's like, I think people have to get out of the mindset of text being the thing. Spatial computing is here. And so, by the way, all of this is about making life more convenient and more connected. So I forget the name of the glasses, but Meta's got these glasses that they're not releasing. They have, for the first time, glasses where you've got the overlays, you can see your screen, and it's not the big bulky goggles, right? It's a step in between the goggles and the Meta Ray-Bans that exist today. It's amazing, right? Like, but their battery life is 2 hours long. Like, you got these cool glasses on for 2 hours and you take them off. There's so many questions to figure out, but I do think it's about immersion. Like, when the digital world is really an overlay onto the physical world, like, you know, it's like, instead of this Zoom call, you can have holograms of us like sitting around the table but that's meant to like recover what and pull together what is human. So I do think like the future of like where AI is going, it's about like the data that's running in the background, like what things are we measuring about people, the way they feel, the way they think, what they say. How is that data being used to create a situation that is ultimately using technology to advance humanity? The thing I think like a lot of people discount when they look 50 years into the future, we saw happen with COVID. Like I remember thinking when COVID happened, I was like, yep, shopping malls are done. Turns out there's still a hotspot for 13-year-olds who want to go hang out with their friends. Like, turns out that having a ice rink inside of a freaking shopping mall is still a brilliant idea. Like people love going to see, you know, I remember hosting events, like virtual events. We had this meetup for education innovators in New York. And the pandemic was like people were starting to go outside again. And people came to our virtual event to tell us that they could only stay for a little bit because there was the real thing with real people going on down the street. That interaction right there, like that is human nature. It is in our nature to want to be with other human beings. That's why we come to these silly conferences and these convenings and stuff like that, because humans want to be together. So even when the hologram situation exists, like people are going to want to get in the same room. So I think the digital and physical will mesh in some way in the future. Less about text, more about sound and images. And yeah.
Amazing. Yeah, I think that's the dream, right? Having that information, especially in a classroom, but even in society, even just be able to pick up on cues, especially helping those that have accessibility issues, right? This could really change their experience with the world. I saw yesterday, I was at the New Jersey statewide AI summit yesterday and saw an advertisement, a video from one of the sponsors where it showed someone who was blind and able to use an AI powered tool that would like calculate and then verbalize for them. You have this many steps till that door, you know, like it actually said what each sign said to them so they could make the choice. You know, I'm sure you're familiar with, we start with pop culture, we're end with pop culture. Ocean's 11, right? You're Danny Ocean. You are pulling off the ultimate heist, changing the world of education. In this case, you know, addressing all the biggest challenges in AI through putting together a team of experts and specialists. You know, I know you're going to overlook people because you know everyone in this space, but feel free to just cook for a couple minutes and name all the right people that folks should know about or organizations folks should know about in order to solve the biggest challenges we have. Go ahead, build your squad.
Well, I mean, I'm taking Caleb Hicks with me from School AI. Caleb is a real builder. I'm taking someone from the Playlab team. But then I would also take somebody who's gone the distance and who's not necessarily focused on AI, but understands that AI is a complementary tool to be able to accomplish tasks. And that's my guy, Byron Sanders, for sure. I need inventiveness and grind. So I would take Aditi Garg, who used to be on the Reinvention Lab team. Nicole Jarbo, who's now running 4.0 schools. Nicole is one of the greatest idea to prototype to product person that nobody talks about in the field. Like homegirl is all that. So Nicole Jarbo is coming with me. My guy, Taban Cosmos. Taban was our CTO and my co-founder in my first startup. He can teach himself any coding language overnight. He's a super learner in that way. And he's super curious about the world. And then I would take my best friend, Brett Gray. Brett does the same job that I do. He just does it in oil and gas. So that means the stakes for him are infinitely higher than me. If one of my projects fail, I'm just like, move on. If one of his fails, the plant blew up. So but he leads innovation for Baker Hughes and has access to all sorts of AI tools. He's a person who's not posting a lot, but he is if you reached out to him on LinkedIn to have an insightful conversation about where AI is going, he's had experience working in the wine world, working in social media content creation, healthcare, all over the place. So him being able to pull those together, that'd be great. So that's my team so far.
That is quite a team. And obviously we'll link everybody so that folks can really listen, learn from them and connect with them if it makes sense. You know, so Mike, first, just want to say thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy, ever-changing world to, you know, to chop it up with us and go over what's really happening in the world of AI. We really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. I'm happy to anytime.
That's it for this episode. We've checked all our boxes. It's been a great week. Hey, Brett.
Yeah. So remember, folks, Mike Yates just not only answered all 11 questions, amped us all up to 11 about the future of AI and innovation and education and beyond. So if you're not inspired, go rewind and listen to that again. I'm sure you missed one of the pearls of wisdom that Mike shared with us and one of the folks you need to know about in the world of AI and education. So until next time, stay curious, stay bold, and keep it amped to 11.